Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and on the line with me today is Rachel Perry. She had an interview last year, September 10th, so if you did not have a chance to listen to that one, or you would like to go and listen to it again to kind of get background information, you may go to caravs.org and click Audio On Demand and put in Je Savais Pas. And her name, Rachel Perry, or the date, September 10th, 2019, and that should pull up the show. It also is a new month, so thank you to all of you that have renewed your membership and in support of this wonderful station and all of the wonderful shows it has. And if you have not yet become a member or haven't renewed your membership, that's also available on the website. So you can go to krvs.org and click on the link to becoming a member or renewing your membership. So thank you again for listening and for tuning in. And thank you, Rachel, for calling in today and
sharing about
your new projects and how you've seen yourself grow as an artist and things like that. So briefly, just kind of review what appealed to you about painting and when did you get involved?
I would say I have been creating art and painting since childhood. My seriousness about it wavers depending on my life situation.
I think that's kind of typical of, you know, a lot of artists.
Yeah, sometimes you're more productive artistically than others. But, I was always interested in drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, I would say I got more serious about it. And then as a grown-up, I learned how to actually finish projects I started. And also show them for the world, you know, show them.
Sweet. So you started drawing, was it like colored pencil or charcoal or just pen and paper or pencil and paper?
A lot of doodling in class, so a lot of pencil on loose leaf paper.
Okay.
I used to enjoy going back through my classroom doodles. I've also heard that if girls are doodling in class, they can still be listening.
Yeah.
If boys are, you have to worry. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I was learning and listening the whole time, but somehow, you know, doing little things with my pen at the same time got me through the day.
Okay.
So a lot of pencil and colored pencil and crayon.
Nice.
The basics.
Okay. And then when you started painting, was it watercolor, oil? What was your medium?
I don't know what they used with us when we were children. Probably tempera. But
I stick to
acrylic now because it's just easiest and it's water-based.
Yeah.
It doesn't require any turpentine. I did try oil, and that's a different monster altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It's enjoyable, but I just don't have the experience or skills necessary to make it work.
Right. Well, and it's not that, you know, you couldn't develop them, but sometimes you find a medium and you really like it, so you just kind of stick with that one.
Yeah, right. It's working, yeah.
I mean, it's similar, you know, to musicians that play the different styles, classical, fiddle, contemporary, you know, all the different genres of music, and some of them, you know, just stick with one because they like it. So let's talk about your new projects. What prompted the idea? I don't remember what the subject matter was when I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, it's okay. My latest project is entitled Nightlife, and it is pretty much a continuation of the show I had last September.
Okay.
Because that show was based on nighttime scenes, kind of a variety of nighttime scenes and light bulbs with light radiating out from the light bulb itself. But I had done a few buildings from downtown, things that I thought were beautiful, and I had painted them at nighttime, nighttime colors. And everybody really liked those, you know. Everybody wanted to ask me about them or buy them, or they were just, you know, more interested in that subject matter, probably because they're buildings that we see all the time, and it's interesting to see them portrayed on canvas. So you can't always go with the flow of popularity, but if people like those, I thought I would try some more.
Okay.
So I painted some more of those.
Neato.
So I just have notable buildings from downtown Lafayette painted in the nocturnal setting.
Cool. So did you take portraits, or did you go downtown at night and sketch, or what was your process?
It was using photographs, and mm-hmm. nighttime photographs do not often come out well.
Right,
so
because of the
I went during
the
day.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It doesn't capture everything.
Right.
All my pictures were taken by daylight, and then I altered the colors to make it a nighttime scene.
So what were some of the challenges with making, like you were talking about lights, light bulbs and emitting light. What were some of the challenges in getting that to come across in a painting?
It requires more organization than you would think, because mm-hmm. for me to create that light on a flat canvas, I had to make a color mm-hmm. and then make about 5 versions of that color. So I found very specific little paint jars that you can stack up, and I would make the color, then I would add a little white, put it in a separate container, add a little more white, put it in a separate container, so that I had 5 different values mm-hmm. of the same color. And so then I used a compass to draw nice, neat circles, and I just kind of filled it in like a paint by number, with the center being the brightest.
Right. Interesting.
And, yeah. So getting all those colors right and looking correct next to each other, that was tricky. And mm-hmm. staying organized, keeping them, you know, in their correct sequence, and not letting a certain color dry before I finish the painting. Those were some of my challenges along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. It's one thing when you're painting a daytime portrait of scenery or a person or, you know, whatever, but trying to capture the night scene where it's still, like, the details are still visible. I imagine that's...
Right.
That takes a lot of thinking through, and maybe did you find that, I mean, like, if you made mistakes, did you have to start over, or did you just figure out how to mix it into the existing one and correct it with
new?
Oh,
yeah, I mixed it on in. Paint is pretty awesome as compared to, I guess, watercolor or pen and ink, mm-hmm. that if you make a mistake, you can paint over it. And I definitely painted over some mistakes. And then I also, you know, I found a few tricks along the way of how to move a little quicker, how to move, you know, from top to bottom, left to right without smearing anything, how to get the background down before I try to work on the foreground too much.
Yeah.
I got a little quicker as I did more and more of the same type of painting.
Cool. And so I'm sure we talked about this on last year's show, but what prompted you to pick that subject matter of nighttime lights and buildings? What was the inspiration behind that?
It's hard to say where certain inspirations come from, but I started the light bulb paintings quite a few years ago with mm-hmm. trees, and I just thought it was neat. I kind of like orderly painting or mm-hmm. concrete painting where you can tell what you're looking at. And then I pretty much lived the majority of my life in downtown Lafayette, so I take a lot of walks. I see these buildings over and over, and
right.
they don't really get tiring. I continue to enjoy looking at them. And I know many artists, over time, they paint what they know.
Mm-hmm.
They paint what they're surrounded by every day. And there's a certain energy you have when painting something that you have looked at a million times, mm-hmm. a certain confidence that comes with that. So I think just familiarity and interest in our downtown area probably prompted that subject matter.
Cool. Okay. So do you have a specific place and time that you start to, like, that you have designated to work on these things, or do you just kind of let it, okay, well, I feel like going to do this right now, and you kind of let it come
out? It's pretty much nighttime, mm-hmm. which is ironic since it's a show picturing nighttime.
Painting nighttime at night.
Yeah, but I do have 2 young kids, and we have been staying home and quarantining.
Right.
And, I, you know, every very rare. So often I will try to paint during the day,
mm-hmm.
and it's usually interrupted, and there's usually little people trying to climb in my lap or see what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just nicer for me to wait till everybody's asleep.
It is good, though, for children to see their parents dabbling in something. And I know a lot of what I do is because of my parents, and they sort of invited me in. Well, my grandparents, too, my grandmothers, and mentored me into different creative things. So it'd be interesting, you know, to flash forward a couple of years and see if one of your children starts to say, "Mommy, I want to do this," and ask for a paintbrush and a sketchbook.
I think creativity, if nothing else, I mean, we all know that art and music don't necessarily make you rich,
mm-hmm.
but they just give you something to do.
Absolutely.
They give you some way to express yourself. So creative endeavors are definitely encouraged at our house. And
Absolutely.
Both my parents were very encouraging as far as creativity.
Wonderful.
Well, that's, so I think it is passed down for sure.
Wonderful. Well, that's one thing I've noticed and heard and seen when this whole quarantine shut down is that people started thinking, you know, I've always wanted to do this and I've had time. Let me pursue it. And that's been, I guess, if you want to look on the bright side of something, that's been one of the positives. So that's why I've been trying to get guests in with different, you know, genres of creativity to inspire the ones listening that are saying, well, I've always wanted to do this, and, you know, now I've got time and not really sure which way to go. And then, oh, wait, here's a show that somebody's talking about it and maybe inspire them, you know, to take that next step and
definitely
sit down and pick up a pen.
Being around other creative people, it is inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you what you can do. It shows you you do not have to be perfect at doing anything.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, perfection is one of those elusive ideas, and some people wait because they don't think they ever will be. Well, you're never going to get there. It's like, you know, I often tell parents, your child doesn't start walking the minute they start trying. They, you know, there's a lot of stumbling and tripping and falling down before they really learn how to use their balance. And in an art expression, it's kind of the same thing. We have to sort of learn through, well, that didn't work. Let me try something different. Well, okay, that worked. Okay, well, let me work with that and keep moving forward. Kind of like what you were saying with the mixing the colors and figuring out how to keep those separate and keep them, you know, I guess, wet to apply them to the canvas.
Yeah. It requires frequent practice, multiple failures.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't turn out right the first time.
Right.
Or the 20th time sometimes.
Yeah. So have you noticed any sort of like more boldness in your endeavors from last year when you started this project and now in the new paintings that you're adding to it?
I think, I grew better at knowing which angles would work as far mm-hmm. as when I would take my photographs. It can be a beautiful building, but if it's a boring shot of it, it can turn out boring.
Right.
So I think I grew a little better in finding that shot that I needed to use as my basis for
mm-hmm.
each painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, I've grown somewhat as an artist, and I'm also just continuing, I suppose, as an artist.
Right.
Not making too bold a leaps at this very moment.
Right. Well, good. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and on the line with me today is Rachel Perry, talking about her additions to her collection of nighttime portraits. And so thank you again for listening, and thank you, Rachel, for calling in. And
You're very welcome.
What size, I mean, have you, in getting bolder, have you changed the dimensions of the paintings, or you're still kind of sticking to one size? Are they varied?
I have gotten a little bigger. I when you go and you hang paintings on a wall at a gallery, they look so big when they're stuffed in your little bitty house. But
mm-hmm.
when you hang them on that gallery wall, it's a little bit humbling to see how small they look.
Mm-hmm.
So I did try to do some larger paintings. And I'm super lucky because people tend to always give me their old art supplies and old canvases.
Mm-hmm.
So I made good use of some used canvas and ordered some bigger ones and tried to increase the volume a little bit of the size.
Okay, cool. And so what's the, not standard, like what are the dimensions of the paintings?
I have a few that are 22 by 28 inches, and I'd say that's about the average.
Wow.
There's one that's slightly larger. There's a few that are more square.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are maybe 26 by 26, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I did one of the cathedral, St. John's Cathedral, and
yeah.
It's in a very odd shape because it's a very tall building.
Right.
that one's like 15 by 30.
Wow.
And these are all inches. So,
yeah.
You know, we're not talking huge, but a little bigger than what I was doing a few years back.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so now I understand why you were saying about the figuring out, you know, top to bottom, left to right on that size, that dimension to keep everything fresh and working and get it complete.
Yeah, technical things, you
right?
know, that once you figure them out, you don't mess up what you already painted, because
mm-hmm.
that's frustrating.
So do you get your canvases already, I don't know what the word is, like squared off and supported
stretched?
Thank you.
Yeah, I get them ready-made.
Uh-huh.
I keep saying one day I will learn how to stretch canvas. But that day has not yet come.
Yeah.
So I just order them already ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, that keeps that company in business.
And yeah.
then once you're done, is it framed in under glass, or what's that once you're finished with it?
It is not. That would be a step two, and I'm sure it would look good. But I can leave that up to wherever, you know, whoever buys the painting or winds up with the painting. So I just hang it up canvas. I do paint around the edges of my canvas because I don't want a big, ugly white side to the
yeah.
painting.
I gotcha.
And I used to varnish, but, I asked around and several art people told me that no, varnish is not necessary. So I don't do that anymore either.
You mean like covering it up? What do you mean by varnish?
Like- varnish is, it's like a clear medium that you would put on top of a painting.
To protect it?
To protect it and kind of give it a little sheen.
Okay.
The problem is that the varnish also causes strange reflections, and I believe it makes photographing a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking from the side, it can just look washed out or white.
Okay. So then how many paintings were in your original series that was shown last year?
That one, I think, I'm not a numbers person, but I believe I had about 5, 4, 9, maybe 12 to 15 paintings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how many is your goal for this new round?
This show, which is up at Cité des Arts right now, it probably has the same amount, but they're not the same paintings.
Right.
Some of them from the last show wound up getting bought or going back to their original owner,
mm-hmm.
and they were filled in with new ones.
Okay, sweet. So then, what would you like? What would your advice or your suggestion or your comments be to somebody who's thinking, you know, that sounds intriguing, I'd like to try? What would you encourage them to do? Like, what would be the first thing you, like, step you'd say to make?
Some good first steps. You know, you just need the materials. You need to have some good brushes and canvas and paint.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that tutorials, Bob Ross-type trainings,
mm-hmm.
They really can be helpful because it just gives you, like, a starting point.
Right.
Sometimes you do have to mimic. You have to copy before you can go on to do your own thing. So I would say, you know, whether it be from a book or a video or a real life teacher, getting some type of tutorial or lesson
mm-hmm.
would be a good starting spot. And then you can look for things that you want to paint or feel within the things that you want to paint.
Right.
To create your own things on canvas.
Neato. So do you have any artists that are your favorite, either classical style or modern artists that, or photographers that you kind of go to for inspiration or ideas or motivation?
Let's see. I think out of the classical, more well-known artists, I like Escher, M.C. Escher. I like Rene Magritte. Mm-hmm. I like Dali. So I like a lot of surreal stuff. I also like Grant Wood. He painted real things just with such a creative twist. You know, he painted a lot of Midwestern farms, but they're just so cool to look at.
Yeah.
I like Frida and Diego, Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera.
Okay, cool.
And then I got to say, too, that, like, children's book illustrators, those are some of the best artists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole lot of respect for illustrators, whether they be simple, like Mo Willems. I'm not sure if you're familiar with his books, but he's got just the simplest drawings that convey so much. And then there's more complex illustrations, like Van Allsburg or Green Base, and those are pretty incredible too.
Mm-hmm. Neato. So in your journey as a painter and an artist, as you're working with one project, do you find yourself thinking ahead about what you would like to do next, or do you set goals for yourself as far as like a challenge or a way to maybe stretch and widen your boundaries or go beyond your comfort zone?
I do. It's not always just in painting, I suppose. Like, I've tried to venture into being more creative musically lately, which definitely was out of my comfort zone. But still, you can derive the same joy from that type of creativity, too.
And I've often said, too, nature gives us a lot of lessons about life. And, you know, a farmer has a field and every 7 years he'll let it go fallow, but he also has a complementary crop so that it cross fertilizes. And, you know, I've had several artists that say that have said that, you know, they have a secondary art expression that they go for inspiration for the other one. And like they cross pollinate is not really the word to use, but influence each other, and one sort of, you know, gets to rest for a bit and the other one gets to develop, and then those ideas go back to the first one and then inspires that one, and then the other one rests, and it's a cyclical thing, and it's just
definitely,
it's always good, you know, so you don't suffer burnout, so they say.
Yeah, burnout could, right. Sometimes you just need to stop, let it lay fallow for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do something else, and yeah, all of a sudden the right idea hits you.
Yeah. So with music, is it like an instrument or is it singing or?
Singing and playing piano and guitar and writing songs. But I've been trying to see voice as an instrument because so many people think you just either have a great voice or you don't. And there's probably something to having a good ear for music, but I think it's a muscle, like your hand is a muscle that you have to train to paint.
Mm-hmm.
While I've been washing dishes and folding laundry, I've been trying to train my vocal cords lately to convey better what I would like them to convey.
Yeah, neat. Wonderful. So going back to painting, I've wanted to ask about like paintbrushes and do you have varying widths and type of brushes that you use, or do you kind of stick to one because of the acrylic? Kind of explain that, because that's not one of my expert areas of knowing what's what.
Yeah, it's not my expert area either, but as we were talking earlier about creativity kind of running in the family, and I had a great aunt who, you know, she was in her 90s when I was a little kid, so I didn't really get to know her too well, but she was an artist, and when she died, the family sent me all of her paintbrushes.
Neat.
And they're really good. There's, you know, some old things were made extremely well. So I have some of those that are pretty awesome. Otherwise, I'm not a brush connoisseur. Like, I buy them at Walmart. I buy the variety pack.
Yeah.
And you just if you're doing a lot of details, like, and you use little bitty brushes, they frays really fast. Like, you know, you do your details, and next time you go to use it, the little bristles are all spread out, and they don't want to make a nice fine line.
Uh-oh.
So I do, I mean, those get recycled into kid paintbrushes then.
Cool.
So that's, I guess, the journey of the paintbrush at our house.
Yeah.
The really nice ones I maintain, and the less nice ones I use till I can't anymore, and I give them to my kids.
Well, good. And again, you're just kind of helping motivate them to follow in your footsteps. Yeah. So as we begin to wrap up, because we don't, this is just an audio program, share with the listener social media information or website information so that, you know, if they're intrigued and would like to go see what you've been discussing, they have a place to go and check that out.
Okay. I have all my paintings, or the vast majority, up on Facebook, so they can look me up that way, Rachel Carey, and Instagram, which is Rachel, my name, _1685. I don't have my own art website, but I do have all my paintings up at art-3000.com.
Okay.
And they can just search for me under artist Rachel Perry.
And
right now I also have paintings up at CTA Days Art.
And that's downtown Lafayette.
Yeah, that's downtown Lafayette. And they're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5, I believe. And there's not many people there. So it is something you can safely enjoy during quarantine. They do require masks. So.
Right. Okay.
Art walk, you know, I realize those kind of things are a little hairy right now because it involves so many people. But you can just go and look at art on your own, too. So
cool.
I invite people to do that, too.
Yeah. So any closing comments you would like to leave with the listener?
I would say art is a pretty valid form of therapy. I know a lot of people are feeling kind of depressed and kind of overwhelmed with the state of the world lately. And I won't say it cures you completely of those feelings, but it can channel that pent-up energy into something.
Yeah.
And I've found it very helpful over the past few months.
Yeah. It's a way to kind of work through emotions and work through just all the, you know, being overwhelmed. And again, I've had several artists who've said, I get... my mind just goes bonkers and I just go in and, you know, pick up or sit down or do something. So, well, thank you, Rachel, for calling in today and sharing. You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krs.org. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and have a wonderful afternoon.
Be sure to tune in to Encore, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for great Cajun music with me, your host, Megan Constantin.
Hi, this is Glenn Fields. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Over the Map, a brand new radio show Thursday nights at 10 p.m., we're going to listen to all kinds of weird stuff. Exotica, Hawaiian music, soul music, jazz, anything. It's going to be all over the map. Who knows what's going to happen? So join me Thursdays at 10 p.m. right here on KRVS.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.